Today, we're going to talk about Dreamer. Dreamer. We've been talking about impossible odds for the last couple weeks. Now we're going to talk about being a dreamer. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would anoint me to minister. I ask that you would anoint everybody here with ears to hear and hearts to understand. We ask, Father, that you would help us to grow by your word that's implanted in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are familiar with the story of Joseph? You know, you've heard the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. And yeah, you know, they made the movie The Prince of Egypt. Do you know I've never actually watched that? We have it. I've never watched it. Isn't that funny? I should watch it. I love stuff like that. Joseph was the firstborn son of his father's favorite wife. You say, favorite wife? Yeah, well, that was pretty common. Okay. I've got one wife. Glory to God, I don't want any more. Hallelujah. It's you know, because if you have two wives and they have different preferences on things, that's more to keep track of. You know what I'm saying? It's taken 18 years to get me almost to where she needs me. You know what I'm saying? So, but Joseph was the firstborn of his father's favorite wife, and he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw stars bowing down before him. And like most people, when you have a dream that's fascinating and you think, oh, this is exciting, the first thing you want to do is go tell people. Sometimes it's wise not to. Paul actually says in Romans, he says, if you have faith for something, keep it to yourself. Sometimes, you know, especially with dreams, you can have a dream and you can see yourself doing great things and you can see, you know, things happening. I was a kid, I was younger than Faith, and the person at church walked up to me and she said, God has great things for you. Maybe the mission field. Do you know, at that point I started running from God because I didn't want to go onto the mission field. I'm not called to be a missionary. You know, and you know, God bless them. You know, we support lots of missionaries, and that's one way we can be missional, is supporting missionaries. And we support a lot of missionaries through this church. That scared me. God's got a big call on you, maybe the mission field. I'm thinking living in a tent, drinking mud for the rest of my life. I didn't want that. No child at the age of 9 or 10 wants to hear something like that. I mean, unless it's already in their heart. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, you grow up and you just want to live in this place and be with these people and teach them and help them. There are some people that are like that. I mean, they're born and born again into it. I wasn't born again into it. But Joseph tells his dream to his family. And even his dad is like, so you think you're going to be in charge over us? Well, isn't that nice? And his brothers got so mad at him, and you can find this in Genesis chapters 36 through about 42. You could find this. Joseph's brothers, they go out and they're with the flock. And his father sends him out. And his brothers are out there. You know what they're doing? Plotting how to kill their brother, who thinks that he's going to lord over them. They're plotting to kill him. The Bible's an interesting book to read. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. The oldest brother, he says, no, we can't kill him. So what they do is they make it look like a wild animal has attacked him and bloody up his jacket to give back to their father. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites. You know who the Ishmaelites are? They're the sons of Ishmael. Remember? Yeah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's Isaac's brother. They're their family. They're cousins. They've just sold their brother to their second cousins into slavery. The Ishmaelites take Joseph down to Egypt and sell him to a man named Potiphar, who's a guard under the leadership of Pharaoh. And he's got kind of a cushy job there. You know, he's kind of running stuff because he is called to lead. And everywhere he goes, he just kind of floats to the top. People who are called into leadership don't have to go around telling you, well, I'm called to pulpit ministry or I'm, you know, no. If somebody comes up to me and says, I'm called to pulpit ministry, all right, toilets need to be cleaned. All right, because a person who's a real leader is first of all a servant. Jesus said, if you're going to be a leader, you have to be a servant first.
That's right.
And who is the greatest example of serving us? Jesus is, right? I mean, he left heaven to come here to be persecuted, lied at, beat up, and hung on a cross and ridiculed. Even to this day, ridiculed. But he's the greatest example of leadership. We could just read it, or I could tell it to you. It seems more interesting to just tell it. Joseph's got this really great job in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife kind of has an eye for him. She thinks he's cute. She thinks that while her husband's gone, she might have some fun with him. We're all adults in here, right? So she tries to seduce him. Joseph does the right thing. He books. I mean, he's out the door. Potiphar's wife lies. Well, he tried something with me. He was laughing at me. So Potiphar's wife has Joseph thrown in prison. I remember I was at a church once, and I was walking through the halls, and I was praying. And the Lord said, you're in Potiphar's house. And I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen? Joseph ends up in prison. And even in prison, I mean, he just always floats to the top wherever he's at. And there's some guys there that have been in the king's service, and they have some dreams, and he interprets them, and they're able to get out because he interprets their dreams and tells them, you know, what the dreams mean. And they said, well, you know, when we get out, we'll tell Pharaoh about your ability to interpret dreams. Well, it didn't happen that week or that month. A long time went by, and Pharaoh has some dreams, and none of his people can interpret them. So this guy that was the cupbearer, he says, you know, when I was in prison, you know, it's kind of when you put me in prison, I met this guy who could interpret dreams. And so he calls for Joseph. Joseph interprets his dreams, and he says, these fat cows are 7 years of prosperity. 7 years of great harvest. And the fat loaves, these are 7 years. And these lean and ugly ones, these are the ones of famine that are coming. So you need to take from these 7 good years and store it up so that you have enough for the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh thinks that he's so smart. And so here's Joseph. He's in prison. He comes out. Pharaoh makes him second only to himself in the palace. Second only to himself in the palace. Joseph is now the leader under Pharaoh of Egypt. What if Joseph had given up on his dream? Well, it's never going to happen. I'm just, you know, maybe he would have just slept with Potiphar's wife. Look, my brother sold me into slavery. Obviously, this dream is never going to happen. Sleeps with Potiphar's wife. He's probably going to get killed for doing that, right? End of Joseph's story. But he didn't. Clearly, he stayed faithful to God. He stayed faithful to the dream. And do you know what happened as a result of him staying faithful to that dream? He's made second only to Pharaoh and the entire kingdom. When his family comes looking for food, who do they have to bow down to? To Joseph. God exalted him. God had a plan for his life. God has a plan for all of our lives. We have to be willing to have the dream, to have the capacity to let him give us a plan and a purpose for our lives. Something that's greater than just working at McDonald's and living paycheck to paycheck. There's nothing bad working at McDonald's. My first job was Burger King. Oh, come on, glory to God, I love their chicken sandwiches. That was where I learned how to dip French fries in mayonnaise, not ketchup. They're good that way. They're actually best that way. I actually lost a lot of weight working at Burger King too, because everything is so greasy. It's so greasy. And once you start making it for a while, and you see it, and it's like before it's cooked form, you don't really want to eat it so much. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's not to say, because everybody has to start somewhere, right? I started as a church office manager. And I was doing an internship for Teen Challenge. No need to hash all that back up, but there's a reason you go to Teen Challenge. Okay? And it's not because you were goody two-shoes. Okay. So then we look at David. Let's look at David. I'm not opening up the Bible a lot today because I just want to tell stories that will help, okay? David is the youngest son of many older, bigger, more handsome sons. And in this time, we've got King Saul, who has completely disobeyed God and then lied to God about it, just like Adam. Just like Adam. Well, you know, this woman you gave me, Saul. Well, you know, it just seemed like this would be okay, you know. Knowing full well that God didn't want him to. And so God tells Samuel, go and anoint a new king that I'm going to raise up. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house, and Jesse brings out all the really good-looking, strong, tall, handsome sons. And each time, the Lord says, nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Well, do you have another son? Well, yeah, but he's just this little, you know, ruddy guy, and he's out with the sheep. Surely God doesn't want him. God doesn't choose us based on our appearance. That's right. He doesn't choose us based on our age. Anybody, as long as you're willing. I mean, David's not the most talented guy. He's not the most gifted guy. But he's the guy that's out there shepherding the sheep, talking to God. He's being obedient to God. He's not just living his life the way he wants to. And, I forget where it's at. It's in Proverbs. It says, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven. And the first one is a proud look. You know, the person who goes around just... Does anybody ever watch White Collar? The TV show White Collar? And the character Neil Caffrey, man, I mean, he's just got the swagger and the hat. And, you know, I mean, he's just Mr. Cool. That wasn't David. That was his brothers. David had a heart after God. Samuel anoints David to be king. Okay? So here you are. You've been found. You've been chosen. You've been anointed to serve us. What happens to David? Does he immediately become king? No. Not by a long shot. He gets called by Saul, by King Saul, and Saul was often tormented by spirits because he was so disobedient to God. David would play for him and it would settle him. Saul found out that David had been anointed to be the new king. Those spirits got even worse and he tried to kill David. Yes, he did. David went out and killed Goliath. Just little David. Little guy. Goes out and kills giant Goliath. And he goes out and he says, you will not speak against my God and you will not speak against my people. I will cut your head off for doing so. And he did. And then the people said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000s. Saul did not like that even more. Drives him out into the desert. It becomes this battle, this epic battle that goes on for years between David and Saul, until Saul falls on his sword and dies. Then David becomes the greatest king ever in the history of Israel, uniting all the tribes and both kingdoms together under one kingship, and sets up for the temple to be built. And he even had an affair. Had a child. Had a woman's husband killed. Well, how can he be a man after God's own heart? Because he was led astray by his own lusts and his own desires. But he repented, and he did what was right in the eyes of God. I always say about David, if you're going to be a man after God's own heart, that means when you realize that you've messed up, right away fix it. Right away, get right with God again. That doesn't mean you just go out and sin and go, oh, I'm sorry, God. Go out and sin. Oh, I'm sorry, God. You know, because at a certain point, it's not, I'm sorry, God. It's I'm sorry, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm sorry, you know, with kids. You know, they're like, I'm sorry. You're not really sorry because you're still playing with the toy that you stole. You're just sorry I found out. You know, that happened to me. When I was a little kid, I went to the store with my mom, and somebody had left this little, you know those gumball machines, and they have the plastic ball with the toy inside? And somebody had had one of those and left it on a shelf at Albertsons. There's a reason I remember all the details. I was playing with it while I was taking a bath, and my mom said, "Where did you get that?" And I told her, and she said, "That's stealing." Man, I remember this almost better than I remember coffee this morning. And my mom said, "Well, you're going to have to take it back." I'm like, "I don't want to take it back. It's my toy. It was just there. Nobody was playing with it. Those were my reasons. I wanted it. It didn't matter to me if it belonged to someone else." This is the same thing David did with Bathsheba. I want her. I don't care if she belongs to someone else. Same sin, right? I had to go back to Albertsons, walked in with my mom. She called the manager. I was standing there. I'm like, you know, this, he's this. I've got this little toy. "I found this on a shelf in the store, and I took it home, and I'm sorry." And the guy's like, "Well, you didn't have to bring it back." My mom said, "Oh, no, he did, because he stole it, and it wasn't his." And Nathaniel, the prophet, that's what he told David. He said, "You know, this shepherd, he's got these sheep, and he went and he took someone else's sheep." Well, you should. Yeah. Well, that's you. What are you going to do about it? Right? When we're called, doesn't necessarily mean that day. Right. You can have a call on you, but come on, there's a lot of stuff in this world that we've got to get off of us from this world. There's some stuff you're going to go through in the process. You know, I think about our president right now, okay? And I'm not going to make this a political thing. But the man leaves billions of dollars, doesn't ever have to work a day in his life to become president, to have people treat him the way that they're treating him. I mean, Hollywood actors saying, "Well, when was the last time somebody assassinated a president?" Or an actress holding up a bloodied head, pretending to have cut off his head. You know, there's some stuff along the way that we're going to go through in the process. And once you get to where you think you're going, it's not always going to be exactly the bed of roses you thought it was going to be. But that doesn't change if we have a dream that God has given us, a vision that God has given us, and we work our, looking at Doreen, we work our butts off 24 hours a day, 7, 8, 9 days a week to make it happen the way like Doreen is doing with the preschool. It's work. Paul, the apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament, shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned, beaten unto death. At one time, they actually thought he was dead. You know, we get this idea as Christians that we're going to get saved and God's anointed me or God's anointed us and everything's just going to work out and everything's going to be beautiful all the way. John boiled in oil. Every single one of the disciples, of the apostles, was murdered for their faith in Jesus. I like my dad, he always says, you know, James, the author of the book of James, he says, "What must you have to come to realize that your brother is the Messiah the Son of God, and to submit to that. Every single one of the apostles was killed for their faith. Now, I'm not saying, oh, you're going to go out and you're going to be persecuted and killed this week. You know, have a great week, mazel tov, you know, see you next weekend. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But even Jesus himself said, he said, you're going to be persecuted for my word's sake. You'll be persecuted because of me. There's not anywhere in the scripture that tells us everything's just going to be hunky-dory all the time. But if you have a dream and you know where you're going and you don't look to the left or to the right and you just keep on your path moving forward, man, there's so much blessing. There's so much that God has for us if we'll just keep moving forward and not be distracted to the left or to the right. When people come against you, when family turns against you, when your friends and loved ones say, well, you just take this whole thing too far, you keep taking it further. You go all the way. Because at the end, when you're done running your race, when you have finished the call that God has on your life, even if it's just to be a mother, to raise godly children, that's one of the best and biggest calls there is. And there are several people that I know in this church that have taken even just foster kids. They've raised, like Dana over here. She has raised her own kids. She's got grandkids. And she has foster kids. She treats them, and she takes them on vacation. She doesn't treat them like nappy redheaded stepchildren. You know? It's a gift to be able to take children in and to mother them. When I first started here, she said, we're talking about, you know, does she want licensing or anything like that? And, you know, because I can help her towards that. She says, I'm really kind of more of a den mom. And she says, I just love on kids. And she, man, she really is. Mike and Laquita over here, they raised their kids, and then they did foster parenting. It's a gift to parent and to help people. To get them out of a bad situation, put them in a loving home. Yes, with rules and discipline, because children need rules and discipline. I had rules and discipline growing up. I got into drugs. I did not have any discipline left. Teen Challenge became my new parents. I had a bedtime, a wake-up time. I had a breakfast time, a lunch time, a dinner time. I had a work time. I had a study time. Discipline. Discipline. My dad is 79 years old. He's so disciplined. He goes every week. He does the same workout routine, whether his shoulder hurts or his knee hurts. And if he can't, he stops. But he keeps on doing. Every other day, he does cardio. Alternate days, he does weight training. And there, you've seen him, right? 79 years old. In better shape than most people here, including Pastor. But when you have a vision or a dream for your life on how you want to be and how you see things going, you hold on to that. Write it down. Make it clear so that you can run with it. Your dream, your vision for your life. And don't let go. Don't let go. Because in the end, you will have run your race. And when Jesus sees you, he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. Isn't that what we want? Amen. Come on. I want to run my race. I want to hear, well done. Well done. By the one who loves me so much. Come on. If he loves us so much, if he gives you a dream, if he gives you a vision for your life, he gives you a plan and a purpose for your life, hold on to it, treasure it, just like you would if it was from your spouse or your parent who you dearly loved. Hold on to it. Hold on to the love that you know that he has for you. And no matter what you face, no matter what happens, no matter what trial or circumstance happens in your life, no matter how people treat you, you hold on to his love, hold on to his plan, hold on to his dream for your life. And don't let anybody ever stop you. Because only one person can stop you from doing it. And that's you. It's me. I'm the only person who can limit my ability with God based on my response to him. David's response. He's anointed to be king. He is not going to hurt Saul, but he knows he's anointed to be king. He stays faithful to that. Right? Joseph. He had a dream. He saw people bowing down to him. He didn't know how it was going to come to fruition. My goodness, you've been put in jail and sold as a slave. How are you ever going to be in a position where people are bowing down to you? But if you're faithful, God will bring you there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close out. Father, this morning, my hope is that in the telling and the relaying of these stories, that people will be inspired to keep moving forward and to pick up the baton and run the race and run the portion that's set before them, so that when you come, we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Not depart from me, I never knew you."